Y'all's too blessed to stress, right? I tell you, man, I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about being a son of God. We all have something to be excited about. Just look around. Anytime you think that you've got problems or you ain't got nothing to rejoice in, just look in the mirror. You know, I look at myself all the time when there's nothing else to do. I just look and go, my goodness, man, the power of God. You know what I mean? I mean, just look at you guys. Y'all are all beautiful children of God. And if you ever forget that, just look in the mirror. I was sitting there, and I felt the Holy Ghost on me. I was getting so emotional right there while she was singing that song. And it's about us. It's about the children of God, man. If you can just stay in that thought, it's such a beautiful thing. Man, I could go on and on and on talking about who we are. I mean, because that's where you got to be, guys. If you could live in that moment, you can forever rejoice in that. If you can live in that moment who you are, and that's where I've got to stay. I'm 100% dependent on God. When I walk out of the house, I promise you that my whole life depends on this word right here. My whole life depends on what God says and what God tells me to do. And if you live like that, you live without problems. You don't worry. You don't stress. Nothing. That's the best way to live. Because you just don't care about nothing. You know, you just don't care about anything. And that's the way God wants us to be. You know, it's kind of simple to think like that, but that's the way that He wants us. Just enjoy life, man. Love me with all your heart. And enjoy life. Don't worry. Don't stress. Just love me and live a good life. Celebrate life. But we make it complicated. You know, we do this to ourselves with the problems and the stress and all that. But that was a good message Sister Kelly preached this morning. I was trying to keep up with her taking notes, you know. And because she'll drop a key point on you. You might not be able to keep up with everything she says, but it's important that we bring our notebooks. And anytime they let me get up here, I'll tell you guys this over and over. When I see you in the parking lot, I'll tell you over and over. Because this is how you're going to win in life. You don't got a big enough mind to remember everything I'm saying. You might not... But there'll be things I say tonight that key points, key words, key points, key things that'll sit down with you and it'll register and you'll go, man, that means something. And if you'll just take the time to bring your notebook and your pencil and write it down, that thing will open up to you. And before you end up writing it all the way down, God will give you three more things to write down that is yours. I tried to keep up with Kelly today. She said something about processing bad information and... Man, I went to write that down to forget it. She was talking about to forget it. You know, so you've got to take the initiative to get it out of your head so you don't stress on that stuff, the worldly things. You know, we're not of this world. So I'm writing this down, and God ministered to me. Before I could even write it down, He gave me three more key points just on hers. It's just like what He does in the Scripture. We can take one Scripture, and we can talk about all the life. We can add it to life and everything. We can take one Scripture out of the Bible and apply it to everything in life. That's the way them key points are she's dropping. And she's on fire and walking around here and pointing because that's God speaking through that woman. That's God. That's not Kelly. That's God. She goes home and prays, and she goes home and gets into Scripture and says, God, what does my congregation need to hear this week? What do they need? And so when she comes here, she's coming here for a word with you, all of you. It's not for nobody else that's not here. It's for the ones that are here. So, man, I encourage you, bring your notebook if you really want to win in life. If you want the most out of life, if you want everything God's got for you, you'll never have another problem in your life. My goodness, I could get down on my knees and beg you. Bring your notebooks. You'll never have another problem in your life. The incentive, just that incentive right there, the discipline, God says, all right, we got one trying. He watches all that. He's in here. So when He sees you try, you want more, it's incentive. He's got he's in the sound booth. He's got the switches to your heart, to your feelings, to your future. When you take a step this way, He's working that switch. It's as simple as that, guys. The power that created us, that brings the sun up, rocks our feelings, rocks our future. You step this way, He's going to raise it up, raise confidence, raise your happiness, raise your future, raise your finances. But you have to show initiative. That's what it's all about, self-discipline. Christians practice self-discipline. That's one of the main things that we do. We practice self-discipline, and in that self-discipline, there's so much. I promise you, I've got 20 of these just stacked up. Anytime I hear some, I'm writing it down. I may never use it, but I know God God sees me doing that, and he opens things up in my mind. He does do the same. I'm not saying this for my own good. This is for all of you, every one of you. Man, things are happening. Things are happening in here and in here. I'm standing up here, and I'm telling you right now, when I was sitting up there, I don't know if any of y'all felt it, but I had a – it felt like somebody had put a heater, like a heater right on my lap, and it was just – it's blowing on my stomach. I told my sister, I said, feel my stomach. I said, it's 20 degrees hotter in my stomach than it is the rest of my body. I said, man, the Holy Spirit is on me. And I said, man, this is a wonderful thing. Because she said, this song they're singing is for you. And I want to tell her it's for every one of you, you know. But I'm living by the law, and I'm counting on God for everything. 100% dependent on God. That's why I'm living a single life, and I can rejoice, man. I live a single life with my two kids, because God, I'm not single. God is in that house with me 24/7. I want to see what he's got for me, and I'm ready to run to him in everything. And as I'm doing it, I swear to you guys, I never thought this to be possible. I never thought this was possible. It's a power that I thought, Mike, it makes me proud to be a son of God. I'll walk out there and testify to anybody because now I know who I am. And it's not just no regular everyday getting up, Dwayne. You understand? This is the son of God getting up. What are we fixing to do today, God? What do you have for me today? What are we going to do? I'm excited because I don't ever know what he's going to do with me. I don't ever know what we're going to do. I don't ever know what he's going to do in the service. I don't ever know what I'm going to do. All I know is he's going to be on my mind. I'm going to listen to what he says. He's a wonderful father, you know. He's a wonderful, wonderful father, guys. Man, I wish I could just really give it all to you. But, man, Kelly does. Kelly does. Brother Angelo does. But I'm up there doing them notes, not because I feel like I'm in elementary school, because I feel like this is a college class. That Kelly said it first. He said, man, people pay money to hear this stuff. People pay money to go to college, to seminars and travel the world chasing people down. You've got a woman that's touched by God that's really working under the power of God. And I know because I'll be doing one thing at the house. I'll come here and Kelly, boom, 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 she'll read me my mail, you know, and everything. You guys got it. She's y'all's, you know, so she's ours, so she's our little blessing. But don't waste it. Don't waste it, man. I can't encourage you enough, guys. And I'll keep telling y'all until you get your notebooks. Because, man, it's on my heart to keep telling you. God keeps telling me, tell them. What are they still not got them for? Why are they not writing it down? But he's good. He's so good. So good, so good, man. I could just rejoice in him. I'm excited to be a son of God. I'm excited about the future. You know, problem-free, we should be problem-free. We should be problem-free. When a problem does arise, man, speak to that problem. That's what I can do today. I can speak to my problems, and I can tell that problem what it's going to do. When I was growing up, I used to see Brother Angelo speak to the weather, and I thought, oh, he's blowing smoke, but now I speak to the weather. Man, it shouldn't be strange to go out there and speak to the weather. I was at Dardanelle Lake the other day. I was telling us there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And it was hot. You know, me and the kids were out there swimming. I thought, man, we could use some clouds, God. I said, surprise me. I said, I've seen you do it before. I've done it before. I said, but there's not a cloud in the sky. And I mean, I looked from the east to the west. There wasn't a cloud nowhere. And within 10 minutes, the whole sky was full of clouds. And I had my shade spot. And that shouldn't be, we should all be doing that for fun because he loves to play with his kids and have fun with his kids. Man, he takes a problem and make an opportunity like it's nothing. Because he knows it all. He ought, man. When we get right there where we need to be, this church is probably just going to get raptured to heaven. You know, I'll be really excited to see that. I'll be really excited to see what God does, because that's what he wants. He said, test me. Test me and see if I won't. He said, he's not, it ain't nothing holding his power back. The children are, the ones that aren't all the way with him, the ones that are lukewarm, the ones that ain't all the way cold or all the way hot. You got to be either one, you know, because once you're in, you're in. Once you get the power that I've had in my life the last couple years, you don't want nothing else. You don't want to be doing nothing else, seeing nothing else. I mean, it's just, let's go. Let me get some more of that. But we create problems. You know, we sit, we process bad data, bad information. We'll sit and we'll just think about these bad things without putting God in the process. You know, we'll think about all this stuff, and then we won't have no worries, no strife, no stress, but then we'll get to talking about things in our life. We'll get to stressing on it. You know, there was nothing there until you started talking about it and not putting God in that equation. Anytime a child of God gets to talking, you've got to add God to your life. He can be in everything you do. Just try it. Try it and see if he won't fit into everything. Everything you do. From when you eat, from I'm trying to put him when I sleep. I'm like, come on, I want to come to heaven in my sleep or something. You know, I don't want to waste the time sleep. I know you're powerful enough to do something. Everything in my life can apply. You can apply God to, you know. So when the problems that occur, man, put God in it. Don't process that information without him, because you're going to end up with bad thoughts. You're going to end up with strife. You're going to end up with worry. You're going to end up with all these things that we got problems, you know. I wasn't going to preach like this. I wasn't going to even talk. I was going to preach on the Holy Spirit. I guess that's where we'll go. You know what did he say? He said, and if you have faith in Christ, what did he say? That his Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, will dwell inside you. And that's it. If you have faith in Christ Jesus, authentic, real faith, where when it ain't working out, all week you've been believing on something, all year you've been believing on something, you have as much faith as you did the first day as you do next year. Your faith hasn't changed. If you got that kind of faith, the Spirit of God lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in you, and that sets you free from all the problems and all the stress and all the worries, all the thoughts that you don't know where they come from. The Spirit of God sets you free from that stuff. That's what Jesus went to the cross for. We're going to get into that because that's what the study was. That's what I was going to talk about. That's what Jesus went to the cross for, so we could be set free from that stuff. We're not slaves to sin. We're not slaves to bad thoughts. We're not slaves to none of that. You know, Jesus went to the cross so we could be, so the Christians, the ones that put their faith in him, the real faith. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, you can't be in Christ. You can be in the church, but you got to be in the church. If you're in a parking lot, you're in the parking lot. You ain't in the church. You know what I mean? If you're going to come to my house and be in my house, you got to walk through the front door. You can't be on the front porch. You can do a lot of things, and it appear to be, and even to yourself, you'll even fool yourself because you haven't got into the Word of God, or you haven't brought your notebook. You know what I mean? You have to. There could be, I'm going to show you tonight, there could be something in here that changes your whole life. Two words in the Scripture that you never knew existed. That 75% of the people that believe in God, believe in Jesus, two words in the Scripture will change their whole perspective. You know, to be in Jesus. To Jesus be in you, dwell in you. And it's a good thing. We all want it because your life is a lot better. You know, and it's not such a fight. It's not such a fight. And it's not on you no more. It's on the cross. That's literal. It's on the cross. That wasn't a thought or something. Oh, it sounds good. That is literal for who is in Christ Jesus. All that stuff, your sinful nature is on the cross. And I'm going to show you in Scripture tonight where it is. So I'm going to be preaching out of Romans chapter 8. And a lot of people think Romans, you know, they say Romans is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. They would say if you were stranded on a desert or on an island somewhere and you had nothing else, you had nothing else with you, and you had Romans chapter 8 out of the whole Bible, that you'd be all right. Didn't matter if I had a phone, if I had anything. I had Romans chapter 8 with me, I'd be all right. By the end of the message, you should know why I would be all right. By the end of this message, you should know why I could be on a desert island somewhere in a desert. Nobody knows my whereabouts. I'm lost. No matter where you're at in life, they say this chapter, you would be okay. Literally, you'd be okay. You should know by the end of this message why you would be okay. And I'm going to touch on two truths. In verses 1 through 3, I'm going to talk about what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. In verses 4 through 11, I'm going to talk about what the Spirit enables us to do. Kind of like what we were doing just now. I was getting excited talking about what the Spirit enables us to do. You know, so I was already preaching my message before I even got into it, but that's good. That lets me know that God's already here. Verse Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. I'll say it again. Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for delivering me, Father God. I thank you for calling me. I thank you for anointing me. I thank you for the confidence and the boldness that you've given me. I thank you for the word. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the congregation. I thank you for opening up their ears. And for whoever needs this message tonight, Father God, let it set right with them. Let them know it's for them, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. So therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ. So, no condemnation. Condemnation is the judgment. The judgment, the punishment that we would have got for our sins. So there's no condemnation. If you're in Christ, you're not being judged for your sins. So that's awesome. That's probably why one of the reasons why this is called the greatest book or the greatest chapter in the Bible is because there's no condemnation for us. So that's something to be very grateful for. You know, that's wonderful. But then it goes to say, it says, the ones that are in Christ Jesus. You know, so that's who it's for. There's no condemnation that exists for those in Christ Jesus. So now you got to say, well, what's it mean to be in Christ Jesus then? And that's just them seven little words in the whole Bible means so much. So what's it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Go to John 14, verses 15 through 26. We're going to bounce right back to Romans, so I'm going to be there mainly, but I got two other verses. So this is what it says in John 14. This is Jesus saying this. This is Jesus, and Jesus is hearing from God. This is Jesus, and God is living in Jesus. While he's down here, God is living inside Jesus, and he's telling him what to say. So he says, if you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it does not see him or know him, but you do. You do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. So he'll be inside you. The world can't see him because they're looking for somebody out here. But he will remain inside you. He will be inside you. I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus is telling me, he said, hey, I'm not going to leave you. When I go to heaven, when I get put on the cross, it's fixing to happen. He said, I'm sending something back for you. I'm sending the Holy Spirit back with you. You're going to have a guide. You're going to have a leader. You're going to have somebody to help you out. In a little while, the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you will live too. In that day, he's talking about when he gets put on the cross. In that day, you will know that I'm in the Father, that I am in the Father. Because he's telling this guy, he says, I'm not telling you this. He says, the Father's telling you this. He said, and when I go to the cross, buddy, you're going to know it. Because I love you, the Father will love you. And you're fixing to get what I'm talking about. It's fixing to happen to you. You are in me, he said, in that day you will know that I am in the Father. You are in me, and I am in you. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by the Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. You don't ever have to worry. If it is or it ain't, I promise you, when you're there, you're going to know it. And if you ain't there yet, keep on going and figure it out. You just don't shut down because you ain't got it. That's what we come here for, to figure out who ain't got it and who needs it and who needs to get there, and we get it going. Brenda's a good example. We were talking about that the other day. She said, I seen the Holy Spirit on your mother and Brother Angelo and Uncle Sam. She said, and I wanted the Holy Spirit. She said, so they took me to the office, and they took time with me, and they prayed, and they prayed, and we sat in there for a while. She said, but before we walked out, she said, I had the Holy Spirit. She said, I had the Spirit, and I thought, that's how you do it. You got to be passionate with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants you if you want it. You know, you've got to be open-hearted. You've got to want God. You've got to love God. You've got to want the commandments. You've got to believe in it. His commandments, love and faith. You've got to want Him and seek Him. And then you come, hey, I want the Holy Spirit. What am I missing? What's going on? You know, so then you get it prayed in you. Yeah, I'm sure you can pray it in yourself, too. But it's a lovely thing. Okay, so let's finish what Jesus is saying here. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. And now Judas, he's just blind to all the spiritual things that's been going on. He has either not been paying attention to Jesus this whole time, or he does not believe that he's a Savior. Something's up with Judas. Because he said to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you're going to reveal yourself to us and not the world? In other words, he's like, man, how are you going to pull that one off? You know, so he's not following that this is a spiritual thing and that God created. So he's kind of blind to it. This is how Jesus answered him. Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and he will come to, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So the Father and Jesus are going to, if you love him, he's coming. He's making his home with you right there in your. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. The word that you hear, this is where he says it's God speaking through him, his Father. The word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you, like this. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send. The Father will send him in my name, and he will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything I told you. That's forever, man. He just don't come and say, hey, how you here? And I got to go. He's coming to roll with you for the rest of your life. He's going to follow you to heaven and get you to heaven. And I'm fixing to break it down in Romans. Romans chapter 8. Let's go back there real quick. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. So, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we got to get that. It's important that we get these things, especially for the one that wants it. You know, the one that wants it. So you're like, how? Okay, how does this work? How is this even? How is he going to do this? How is he going to take my sins? How is he going to take my sins from me? How is it? Because we continue to sin. How does that work, right? How does Jesus take my sins? Okay. He does it right here in verse 2. The Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus. So the Spirit in Christ Jesus. The Spirit that's guiding him, that gives him boldness to get on the cross. The Spirit that's preaching the gospel through him. The Spirit of God. The godly Spirit. The God Spirit that's in him. The Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. See, it's hard to know what you're set free from unless you know what you're dealing with. See, the law of sin and death is a really big thing. It's not just something that, you know, it's a thing. It's got to be dealt with. And I want to just tell you what Paul said right here real quick so you get a better understanding. Let me see. The law of sin is the habitual tendency to sin. The habitual tendency to sin. So when you say, I'm having trouble sinning, I just can't stop sinning, I love God and this and that, but I just have trouble stop sinning. Well, you're saying the Spirit of God is not dwelling inside you. Because when the Spirit of God dwells inside you, you don't sin. You just don't. You've got motivation. You've got the Spirit of God inside you that leads you to not sin. He's walking and talking with you. You're not sinning. You're just not sinning. And I'm going to show you why you're not sinning. It's not with your own power, your own. So let's go to, well, just right here. Just in chapter 7, verse 22 of Romans. Chapter 7, verse 22. See where it says. I'm going to hold off on that verse. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, for where the Lord is, the Spirit is, and wherever the Spirit is, there's freedom. So you're free from all that, right? Yeah. And then I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read verse 3 on Romans, in Romans chapter 8, so I can tie it all up, so I don't confuse nobody, hopefully. So I'm just going to go down to read Romans 8, chapter 3. Because you already know the law of sin and death is the habitual tendency to sin. So you just sin it over. That's the law of sin. But how do we get rid of it? So I'm going to go down to verse 3. This is how we get rid of it. What the law could not do, since it was limited by flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his son, Jesus, in flesh like ours, under sin's domain. See, if you read that real fast, and like I used to do, I would have just blew right through that. I wouldn't have known what none of that meant. I'd have been like, oh yeah, Jesus died for my sins. Yeah, well, I've been known that. But he condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own son in flesh like ours under sin's domain as a sin offering. So there's a big deal going on. There was something happening here. And Paul elaborates on it. In chapter 7, verse 22, he says, for in my inner self, he said, I joyfully agree with God's law. Because he's saying that Jesus did what the law couldn't do. God's law couldn't do. Jesus had to get on the cross because all God's law could do was reveal crime, reveal sin. That's all that God's law could do. In the beginning of Romans 1 through 7, he goes and talks about it. God's looking at everybody and he's going, everyone's sinning. The ones that know my law are sinning. The ones that haven't seen it, they're still sinning and they're convicted by their minds. They sin it because I've written it on their heart, so their minds are convicting them. So God's looking at them, and he's saying, but they're all still sinning, so something's got to be done. And Paul's going, for in my inner self, I enjoy the law because the law is good. But I see a different law in parts of my body waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin and in the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am. Who will save me? Who will save me from this dying body? So what he's saying is we've got them bad thoughts, those thoughts that we can't control, those thoughts where we don't want to sin, but we sin anyway. God, I do what I don't want to do. Why do I do the things that I don't want to do? I want to do good, but I can't do good because it's steadily on my mind and it's so the feelings are tied to it and it's pulling me in. It's pulling me in every time. The more I think about it, the more I want to sin. How can I stop sinning when I've got this going on inside me? So Paul's addressing that and he's saying, hey, he said, the law's good, don't get me wrong, but it ain't doing nothing for me. All it's doing is revealing the sin. Without the law, there would be no sin. Without the law didn't exist, there would be no sin anyway. So what's the law doing good for me besides revealing that there's sin? And so, boom, this is where God's got to act because he loves us through the whole Bible. He loves us, and he's just saving us. So this is what Jesus has got to go to the cross in order to break us free from this, in order so we don't have to deal with this no more. And this is what the best thing about being a Christian is, guys, is this right here, is that we don't have to put up with this. If you're a real believer, you don't have to put up with that your feelings tied to you wanting to sin. You got the Holy Spirit. You got God dwelling inside of you that you don't. He keeps your mind focused on things, guys, that are heavenly things. I read that verse when I was a kid, and it meant nothing. I read it today, and it means everything to me because it's true, and it's living, and it's real. Once he's inside you and you get this, he literally walks and talks. He directs you. You ain't going to do that. You're going to do this. You ain't going to do that. You're going to do this. Why? Well, let me show you, because you feel like it. And he just starts working you. He starts working you, and but you're never going to get there like if you don't want it. You got to pursue it with faith and love. This is something everybody needs and everybody wants because it's the way to heaven. Without it, you don't get into heaven. But it's for all of us. It's free. It's what God went to the. It was what Jesus went to the cross for. But so he said, "Who will save a wretched man like me? Who will save a wretched man like me?" And Jesus will. You know, Jesus did. And this is the link that I was talking, verse 4, Romans chapter 8, verse 4. Now, this is where a lot of Christians would stop when it's like, okay, so Jesus went to the cross for my sins, but this is where a lot of people just stop. Forgive me for my sins, you know, he forgives me for my sins, and that's it. But if you read right here in verse 4, I'm going to read 3 and 4 so you can see the link. What the law could not do since it was limited by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own son in flesh like ours under sin's domain as a sin offering. Why do you think it was so important that he be born of a virgin and he be clothed in humanity? You know, that he sin free, that he come into flesh like ours. He was the only one that can do it, and that's why it's so important to believe in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You know, people bank on that they're not fornicating or they're living a good life or they're not doing nothing major. They're a good person. They're going to heaven. It's not going to get you there. This is why that you have to go through Jesus Christ, man. You cannot get in there any other way because of this right here. But it says, in order, verse 4, in order. So all that was done. In order that the law's requirements, so that the law's requirements would be accomplished in us who do not walk according to the flesh, and the ones that live by the Spirit. So, in order. So God didn't write the law to condemn us. God didn't write the law to send anybody to hell. He had a purpose behind writing the law. Adam and Eve, they got us here from the sinful net. We're born with sin. We're born with sin in us. Psalms 51, verse 5. Psalms 51, verse 5. We were conceived into sin. We were conceived in my mother's stomach. I was already sin. So we have to get out of it. So God set the law not to send us to hell, not to condemn us. The purpose of the law was that so we would live righteous lives, so that we would... Because the purpose of the law is that we live righteous lives. The requirements of the law are that we obey it. So in order that the law's requirements would be accomplished. What are the requirements of the laws? That we obey it. We have to obey the law. But we can't obey it without the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. There's no way to obey the law, is what he's saying, without the Spirit of God living in us. And the only way to get that Spirit is to serve Jesus Christ. It's the only way to get the Spirit. That's what he went to the cross for. Amen? So, yes, them are the requirements to obey the law. The Holy Spirit enables us, enables obedience to the law and to a holy life. Once you have the Spirit on you, you are transformed. Your life is transformed. You do have new desires. And this is speaking from my life, when I received the Holy Spirit, when I received it. It was the best thing in my life. Man, I do things like work in the wood shop. I make music. You know, back 6-7 years ago, I wasn't doing that. You know, I had other things on my mind. I had sin on my mind. There's sin on my mind. You know, I couldn't get it off. You know, like Wi-Fi, I would buff up on everything I seen. You know, I'd just start buffing up. I'd go through town, and I'm just full of sinful thoughts. But today I stand here and I promise you, I may not be perfect, but when it comes to the way that I think and the way that I process information, I do it a lot better than 7 years ago. I'm telling you, I do it in a way that it's the Holy Spirit and it's God dwelling inside me. I look at things totally different. I see people when I used to remember what they'd done to me, and I could remember, and I still had to, I see them and now I understand. I actually take the 60 seconds and put myself in their shoes. Imagine myself as them, just to feel what they may be going through that might push them to that point. And if you do that, you'd be surprised how it changes you. But no one ever does that, you know what I mean, unless they got God's Spirit dwelling in them, you know. But I see things different. The Spirit of God dwells in me, and I see things different. I want to do different things that are pleasing to Him. Because when the Spirit lives with you and they're walking and talking with you, man, you cannot think about nothing but heavenly thoughts. You're thinking what heaven's going to be like. How long? I'm like Enoch. God, go on and take me. You know, take me now. That's what I told him. I said, I want to go in the middle of a service so they all know I'm telling the truth. I want to go so they know I got the Holy Ghost. I said, rapture me up one day in the middle of a service. I said, you done it to Enoch, God. I said, do it to me. Please do it to me. You know? But God is goodness. My hope, my desires, and everything about my life has changed. And it's beautiful, man. Life's got purpose. I wake up in the morning wanting to talk to Him and give Him the victory. And I ask Him because I'm so excited about what they... Because not only do they give you the ability, or does the Spirit of God give you the ability to obey the law, you feel, you know, then you start feeling like a son of God, a daughter of God. You're obeying the law. You know what I mean? You know, it's just a good feeling. It's satisfying. And then you know if you really want it, if you want to go hard, like if you really want to go hard for God and get out there and teach and want to spread the gospel, He'll say, what do you want, son? He'll say, what do you want to do in life? He'll say, what do you want? Watch me line up some people. Like, what do you want to do? You want to be a motivational speaker? You want to write an album? Do you want to do something in life? If you'll put forth the work, I'll tie you in with the right people. That's nothing for God. But you have to be willing to get out there and get it. You can't put an album together without learning an instrument, without writing a song. You can't write a book without picking a pencil up and having a story. But if you would do it and be persistent with it, God will open the doors, just like with the Holy Spirit. If you want the Holy Spirit and you don't have the Holy Spirit and you think that, hey, maybe I'm missing something here. Maybe there's something that I would like to have the Holy Spirit. I would like to be led by the Spirit of God. I would like God to dwell inside me and lead me like He's leading Dwayne. That sounds like a good plan to live by. You know, if you feel like that, I'll pray for you tonight to receive the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that it'll come to, but maybe it will. I don't know what'll happen. It's up to God. And it's a lot up to you, too. Like I said, you have to want it, y'all. Y'all have to want it. You know, you have to want it in a way that you don't want nothing else. You know it's for, you know there's something. You know I'm, you hear the energy in my voice. You know that I'm being real about the Holy Spirit. You know that, and y'all all may have it. I don't know. You all may have the Holy Spirit, far as I know, but you know that I got it. You know that I got it, and it's in my heart, and then I'm rolling, just like I say, in my house, 24-7, and it was strange, but it's real, and I love it, and there's nothing in it, but I will pray tonight that you receive the Holy Spirit, and we can do that, guys. We can do that, y'all, if that's what you feel like on your heart, but know that you want it, you know. Know that you want it. I guess you would have had to been baptized and, you know, you had to receive Jesus Christ, and we can do that too if you have never received Jesus Christ. I think most of y'all are saved in here. But that's up to you guys. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, think about it. I'm trying to get passionate when I talk about Him, you know, because I know I like try to move y'all's perspectives from that jacked up message to talking about the power of God to how y'all feeling on the inside. You know what I mean? Do you feel like receiving the Holy Spirit? Do you really feel like it? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to roll with God? Do you want Him to do wonderful things in your life? I don't know how to be soft about that because it makes me want to operate like like a son of God. I get excited and get riled up about it. But I'm trying to bring it back down so we can think on that level. So if there's anybody that wants prayer, I guess you don't have to... You turn on the music, and I'll say a prayer if you want to stand up. I'll give you all a few seconds.